And welcome to the Wing Women podcast, hosted by best mates and journalists Frankie Credden, that's me, and Charlie Gowans Eglinton, that's her. Morning, Chad.
Morning!
Cheery, how are you?
Fine, that was my most annoying and Stepford wife-ish morning. I'm fine, I'm tired.
Oh.
No, isn't life difficult?
A little.
How are you?
Fine, tired too. We've had a fun weekend with Hurricane Alex. Hurricane Alex? I've escalated it. It's a storm.
That was your ex-boyfriend.
It felt like a hurricane in my flat. Leaky roof.
Papa, I'm so Terrible. Sorry.
I know.
Where's it leaking?
Everywhere.
Cool.
At one point, the bathroom was the only room that wasn't leaking.
Which is weirdly unfortunate, because obviously that's the only floor that could take a bit of leaking.
It's made for wetness. I know, which is such a shame. So in the early hours of Saturday morning, I did think I might have to go and sleep in the bath because of the drips above my head in bed, which was a nightmare. But you know what I did? I went to Peter Jones for a restorative trip.
Lovely. Did you buy anything or did you just like walk around staring at things?
Kind of just walked around staring at things. Do you do this? There's something very relaxing, reassuring, comforting about a department store.
Oh yeah, 100%.
We woke up on Sunday morning after two nights of roof leakage. And I said to Ben, we're going to have to go to Peter Jones. And I want to sit in the cafe and have a cup of tea.
Lovely.
Maybe it's nostalgic. Because maybe I used to do that with mum or granny.
I think I definitely spent a lot of time in department stores with my parents. I used to play the game of choosing which of those really ugly china figurines I would pick.
Oh, nice.
With my sister.
Yeah.
Department stores are very comforting.
They are.
They are quite sleepy as well. The pace of them is not like a normal shop.
It's very relaxed. No one's rushing around. There's no loud music. Is there any music? Maybe not. If it is, it's very unintrusive.
It's probably Muzak.
Maybe.
And also the crockery in the tea room is always 90s hotel. You might be at one of those work conferences and they put the coffee out and it's in those really sturdy, thick cups.
That are quite square.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that you can go into a department store. No, you can have a wee.
Lovely.
No, you can have a cup of tea. No, you can go and stroke some pillows if you need to.
I wonder where we were going with that.
In my final year of university, which I found very stressful, I don't know if you recall.
I do recall. I remember you getting in a bath for a different reason.
Having a breakdown in a bath and half-dressed and having to call Charlie because I just couldn't take it. Ridiculous. But at the time, I lived behind a Waitrose, which is obviously a similar vibe to department store. It's part of Johnny Lou. And I used to just take myself off for trips around Waitrose, not to buy anything, but just to look at the shelves. Things like all the different types of olive oil. When it was Easter, all the different Easter eggs that were out. And it would just calm me down. So that was my coping strategy.
Great!
What have you been up to?
Well, I had an existential hair crisis on Thursday. Basically because I'm getting my picture taken loads for work.
Right.
So it has brought to my attention the dodginess of my hair. I hadn't had my colour done in a year. And I normally get blonde highlights. But I've been taking it gradually darker because I'm naturally a brunette. I'd gone bleach blonde maybe 5 or 6 years ago and had a bleach blonde bob for a while. And then as my hair's grown, I've been taking the colour like a bit darker gradually. So when lockdown happened, I was in need of a haircut and colour. But when salons reopened, I just got a cut done because I didn't think the colour looked that bad. It was growing out quite naturally. And I was hoping that this was a natural segue into just not getting colour done anymore because it's expensive and it'd be great to just take that one thing off my expenditure list. However, I then saw a picture of me from above and I sort of looked like a cracked egg, but with like blondie yellow around the outside and then like a brown yolk.
Right.
And no, it didn't look nice because the bleachy blitz had really faded out. So on Thursday, I then had to DM the hairdresser who I've only been to once. I went to her for a cut in July on the recommendation of a friend who goes to her for colour. Her name is Natalia Alves, and she has her own little studio in St. Newington, and you can book online. And I DM'd her in a blind panic and said, I don't suppose you've got any colour appointments for tomorrow morning, ahead of a shoot, which I had. And she fit me in before her 10 o'clock.
What a poppet.
Yeah, early bird special. It was one of those mornings where you feel like you've been really efficient. So, I'm a different woman. I'm basically, you know in Sex and the City, when Carrie gets her hair dyed brunette and she flicks it up.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, she's a different woman. Apart from, you didn't notice when you saw me.
I didn't. The issue was, it was quite a dark day when I saw you. Mm-hmm. It was in the afternoon. I just thought it was quite dark in here. And that your hair therefore looked a bit darker.
Because I've gone darker, by the way. Yeah, I didn't say
it's
that.
More brunette. It suits you being...
Thanks.
What colour would we call you?
I think it's brunette, but it's just got some sort of warm caramel tone.
Yeah, there's some bronze going on.
She put a few highlights up top and then put more brown down the bottom to try and even them out, but also so I won't have to get it done often.
Fabulous.
Because it's just expensive hair, isn't it?
This is why I go twice a year, if I'm lucky.
Well, this is why I look like shit, like, all the time. Because... I've never had my eyebrows done. I don't go for facials. I'd love to do all of these things. I'm getting a mani-pedi today for the first time in maybe 2 years.
So exciting.
So excited. My feet are hooves. They are disgusting. I'm basically a centaur. Is that the right one?
Yeah, maybe. Mm. Half man, half goat.
Yeah. Anyway, I just don't do any of that maintenance because it's very expensive. But... I can't tell you how much better I felt for getting my hair done. And then I thought, why didn't I do this sooner? I feel fantastic and I wear my hair every day. So actually, spending a bit of money on my hair once in a blue moon is not the end of the world.
Amen to that.
I will add that I did pay full price, just in case anyone is listening to this and thinking, they're fashion editors, they don't pay for things. I'm recommending this as someone who paid full price.
Top whack.
Worth every penny.
This actually brings us on to a talking point.
Does it?
I'd like to discuss.
God, we're organic, aren't we?
So in last week's newsletter, I wrote about feeling good by way of clothes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you read it, Chaz.
Yeah, I found the time. Devoured it, obviously.
Thanks! So I was thinking back to a moment, must be about 6 years ago now, where I was having a real... breakdown, and I'm going to use the word breakdown because it was impression mange.
It's nice to be able to track the years of our lives by breakdown,
isn't it? It was during London Fashion Week before the Anya Heinmarch show, and I was with an ex-colleague. She won't mind me saying who it is. Stacey Duguid, hi.
Well, it's very good advice.
It was good advice. I was having a breakdown. I looked like shit. I did look like shit.
You didn't.
Everything had gone to pot. Stacey sat me down. We had a cup of tea. And she just said to me, Frankie, you need to brush your hair, put on a good outfit and pull yourself together. And her words of wisdom have really stuck with me. Because in tough times, sometimes it's easy to not think about how you look and clothes. But I do find it helps pull you through sometimes. What do you reckon?
Oh, massively. I think when you feel like shit, my impulse is to just put on snuggly, cosy clothes, which... Snuggly cosy is not a bad impulse, but they normally are my least exciting clothes. It's normally a really slobby jumper, probably with some moth holes in the sleeve, potentially could do with a wash, definitely bobbly, some kind of mismatched jogging bottom, maybe a legging. Actually, my comfiest pair are cropped as well, so that's really nice, especially with a hairy leg. Nothing wrong with a hairy leg, but with a cropped legging, it's quite a statement look. Mm. And then maybe like a Christmas bed sock. In fact, they were on my sofa when you came in. But yesterday, I wasn't wearing them with aforementioned outfit. I got dressed for work, even though I was working from home.
Did you?
Yeah, I put on a proper blouse and a bra.
No.
I know.
No.
Bra and knickers. Madness. And tailored trousers. I know.
Bloody hell.
I was going to put shoes on and then I was like, my downstairs neighbours will hate me so much. So I did the bed sock. But I even put on lipstick. And I didn't have a Zoom meeting. No one was going to look at my face. I was just alone in my flat. And it made me feel so much better. Because then when I went to the loo and I glanced up at myself in the mirror, I didn't see a miserable person dressed as a rain cloud. I saw my jolly shirt with embroidery around the collar.
Well, interestingly, I saw a great thought from a lady called Professor Carolyn Mayer, PhD. Mm-hmm. She's a behavioural psychologist and author of The Psychology of Fashion. And she says, when we feel good in what we're wearing, we tend to be more confident. What we wear is how we show ourselves to those we interact with. We are influenced by their reaction to it. If we are well received, it boosts our confidence and can ultimately affect our well-being. Which I thought really played into how I've been feeling, particularly recently, and again I wrote about this in my column, is that during lockdown I did the classic lockdown look of leggings, tracky bums, slobby hoodies, etc.
You didn't wear knickers at one point. No. You were just wearing leggings without knickers.
Any excuse for me not to wear underwear, I will take. And as I wasn't leaving the house, I thought, well, what's it to anybody else? Hello. Let her breathe.
Let her breathe.
And at the beginning, as you were saying, comfort, snuggliness, all of that, it felt really nice. But then it was the thing of walking past the mirror and just thinking, oh, God, you again.
Well, I think it felt like a sick day or a hangover day or
yeah.
a duvet day, basically, because those are the clothes you reach for when you've got the flu and you are staying home from work sick, or it's miserable outside and you think, I'm just going to spend this Sunday horizontal on the sofa. So it's nice for a day or two, but beyond that, it makes you feel like you're hungover or ill.
It does. Well, and also I had morning sickness throughout that period. I did actually feel hungover and it was awful. Trying to do anything normal, like a bit of work or just functioning in a normal way, which I think is what I was really looking for because it was such an unusual time. You sort of wanted those markers of normality to try and make things feel less weird. The clothes just really weren't helping with that. So I had a moment. See, I think I did it for about 2 months. I did full scruff bag for about 2 months. And then I think it was in May, the weather had perked up and I thought, you know what, enough is enough. I'm going to start wearing my summer dresses. And actually I started picking out outfits that were my favourite holiday outfits because it was warm enough to wear them. So I put on my yellow tent dress, which I adore. I did a little Breton and some denim and it just made me feel so much better. And I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when you asked me what would I do differently if we had lockdown 2.0. But getting dressed in proper clothes, and it doesn't have to be full shebang. I might not wear a bra, Chaz. I'm just going to put it out there. I might not go that far. But in an actual outfit that makes me feel good does make such a big difference. And I'm going to really take that forward with me.
Well, because it's not about getting dressed up particularly. Because do you remember lockdown OG?
Mm.
There were those images circulating on social media of women taking the rubbish out in a ball dress,
yes.
etc. Which is great, but impractical because my house is cold, I'm doing the washing up. I'm not going to put on a gown to sit in my dining table and type.
And you're not.
Because I'll get cold, it'll get dirty, it's dry clean only. I'll then get hit with that bill, slash it will live in my washing basket with everything else that's dry clean only, which is just there forever. It's not practical, and it might bring you joy for a minute to put on a dress like that, but actually you'll just feel a bit impeded by it, I think. It's more about, as you say, putting on what makes you feel great. And for me, that's often colour, because I think a lot of my comfy wardrobe and a lot of my go-to sort of chuck-on weekend things are black and navy or maybe dark denim, which is great in the mix, but if you're living in that constantly, it's a bit sombre and colour does impact the way we feel, and red and yellow are invigorating and they're lively colours. Blue and green and purples can be really calming. Colour can really impact your mood and give you a bit of a hit of dopamine. And I think that's really important, actually, to consider the colour of what you're putting on in the morning. Even if it's just a brightly coloured t-shirt or putting on red lipstick, that flash of colour when everything is grey, especially when you look outside and everything is grey as well, can be really important.
I've got bright yellow knickers on.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh God, who wears bright yellow knickers?
Me.
Surely you can't wear them under anything.
Oh, I can under jeans.
Yeah, dark colours. How yellow, can I see?
Well, my waistband's up here.
Oh, you're in your maternity.
I've just flashed Charlie my waistband, which is literally under my
boots. It just looks like a stretchy top.
Here we go.
Oh my god, they're so yellow.
They're so yellow. They're my day of the week pants.
Oh god.
Yeah.
I love it.
They're so comfy.
Banana bottom.
Mm-hmm. So what is your go-to feel-good look right now? Because also, this is timed perfectly well. It's autumn, the best season for dressing.
The best season for dressing. I do love a chunky jumper. Dungarees and jumpsuits.
I love your new dungaree vibe.
I'm really into it. I'm basically Meryl in Mamma Mia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ugh,
can you see it?
Such a good style reference.
I'm barefoot. I'm tending my balcony. I'm free-spirited. I'm none of these things. I'm just me wearing some dungarees. But when I put on the dungarees, I'm just like, yeah, the good life.
Fantastic.
Fresh produce. Eat things directly out of the ground. I don't know. It makes me feel great, but it's still really comfy, which is crucial. Because otherwise, I just wouldn't wear things. I stopped buying, somewhere in my 20s, things that weren't really comfortable.
Mm.
Because I used to think, oh, but for a special occasion, I don't mind this or that. No, I want to be able to slouch in things. I want to be able to relax in things. I want to be able to crawl around on the floor looking for something I've dropped.
I wonder where you're going there.
Well, I don't know. I want to be able to do like a Meryl cartwheel roly-poly. Oh, you know when she falls through? Does she fall through the roof or? No, she climbs up. Anyway, can't recall. She really gets acrobatic is my point. And I want to be able to do some Meryl acrobatics in my Grecian B&B.
Perfect.
/ Highbury one bed flat. What's your go-to happy outfit?
At the moment it's dresses because trousers are difficult.
Just in the old maternity jeans.
A feckler bump. Although these are quite good, aren't
they're
they?
Great.
Yeah. So dresses, normally I'm not a ruffly kind of person. Ruffles and me, not really my vibe. But this season, I'm really going for it.
Are you?
Yeah, not like a pie crust or a Victoriana, but more of a prairie ruffle, I would say. Subtle, not too fussy, but just a bit of embellishment.
Just off the top of your head.
Just came to me.
I love that.
Just came to me.
I feel like I'm inside the mood board of your wardrobe.
Oh, God, thanks. I'm delighted to get my big stomping boots back out again. Mm. I missed them.
I don't know that I can ever do a dainty shoe again.
Me either. I like being able to wear a sock. I feel like I spent a lot of my latter teen years and 20s in shoes that didn't facilitate socks. So my feet were either cold or wet or both, which is probably why they're in such a state.
A soggy foot.
Oh, awful. And you step in a cold puddle and then it goes in. I used to wear white trainers without socks. Can you imagine? Stinky.
I remember. I don't need to imagine. I lived it.
So the stomping boot is where I'm heading. If I wasn't pregnant, I would also drag out my knee-high boots with a bit of a stacked heel.
I'm going to do a knee-high boot.
Oh, I bloody love a knee-high boot.
I've decided to stop being a weirdo and worrying so much about my body not being right for certain trends and embracing short skirts again.
Nice.
I haven't worn a short skirt in about a decade because I decided I didn't have good enough legs, which is stupid.
You have got a complex about your knees.
Yeah, but everyone's got a million complexes, don't they? Well, I certainly do. There is not one part of my body that I think, great, yeah, let's get you out. Everything needs to be covered up and blah, blah. It's boring. So actually, when I saw mini skirts again on the catwalks with knee-high boots, I thought, yeah, I want a bit of that.
Quite Cher clueless.
It used to be my vibe. Do you remember early 20s?
Yeah. Yes, you were always in a miniskirt.
With really thick tights, mind.
Yeah, do you remember those leopard ones you had?
Yeah.
That did you have a mustard pair as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, I did. Our foundation, I did a really strong mustard tight. I think I had a sort of ox bloody pair and I had a leopard pair. And actually, I think I wore those with high-waisted shorts, high-waisted black shorts. Do you remember with buttons on them? I used to tuck a blouse in. Just if anyone wants to really picture how much of a knob I was.
Everyone was doing it. The Claxons were in the charts. Everyone was doing it. I wore leggings as actual trousers and not even a long top over the top.
You did. You used to do quite a short top with the leggings.
Yeah, I know. Camel hoof central. Weird.
You made it work. I was into it. And you did a cowboy boot, which I think really balances.
Oh my God, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
A non-ironic cowboy boot. Hey, who would have thought we would have ended up fashion journalists?
not anyone who's ever seen our wardrobes, even at this point, probably. Often I look in the mirror and ask myself that very question. I wanted to talk about, so I actually wrote about this for the Times newspaper, we'll put a link in, the death of cinema.
Ooh.
So all these Cineworld closures, which also means picture house closures.
That's so sad. I love a picture house.
Love a picture house. Don't love the price of a picture house, which I put in. £17.20.
Is that for the sofa or just for the normal?
That's a normal adult ticket.
Yeah, that is really expensive.
Because I double checked. Which is probably why I don't go very often. So, was the writing on the wall? Do you go to the cinema?
Obviously not this year, but normally, yes. January, February time, obviously when all the new films come out ahead of show season. Me and Ben used to go loads.
Define loads. How many times do you think you went last year?
Well, I'd say we probably went every other week.
Really?
At least, yeah. In Jan and Feb, when the weather's shit and there's just nothing to do at the weekend, we'd go quite often.
Right, so every other week just in Jan and Feb?
Pretty much, unless there was like a smasher of a film coming out.
Okay, so that's only four times a year.
Yeah, when you put it like that. I love the cinema, but I haven't been, even since they've been open, because of the mask situation. I'm not opposed to wearing a mask. I'm really used to wearing a mask. I just don't think I want to sit in the cinema and wear one.
Also, you can't eat giant chocolate buttons.
Which is part of the joy of going to the cinema.
50% of the reason I get.
We were actually going to try and go and see the new James Bond, which has been delayed from last spring, and it was going to come out November. We were hoping the Babe wouldn't shoot out before we had a chance to go. But it's been delayed again.
That's why Cineworld's closing. They were counting on it.
No, really?
Yeah, well, apparently they were hoping that that would turn the tide because they'd have such a big influx of people going. Because it's one of those films, I suppose, like probably like those Marvel films and stuff that people just...
It's a blockbuster.
...love going to see on the big screen. But yeah, postponed again. I'll have to watch Bubba so you can go to the cinema.
Thanks. I actually had a phone conversation with a mum recently who told me to just go to the cinema now whilst I could, because she said that is one thing that will just slip away. You will never ever go to the cinema when you have a child, because there's no way you're going to pay someone to look after your kid. £17 each for a ticket. Just go to the cinema.
I never go to the cinema, partly because of the cost, but this is what I was thinking about in the piece, because we have too much screen time already. I spend my whole day looking at a computer. I look at my phone as soon as I wake up to see what the news headlines are, what's happened in the world. I'm on social media. I'm doing my banking on my phone as I commute to work, etc., etc. Then if I do have some free time in the evening and I'm not looking at my laptop, I'm looking at my TV. I'm basically in front of a screen all the time. What I'm lacking is not screen time. So to pay someone to go and sit and look at a bigger screen just doesn't really appeal to me. What I am lacking is human interaction. Certainly that's what I was lacking in lockdown. And I think for a lot of millennials, that's what you're... Sorry, someone's doing the school run outside and it's just very loud, isn't it? I think the millennial generation is quite time poor and we do always have a million things going on. People don't clock off work at six and then have a free evening. Everyone's always trying to juggle things. So I think what we're lacking is time just looking at another person and having a conversation. And also, cinemas are date places, aren't they? But not an early date place, because
you need to be able to not talk to each other.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it's established relationship territory.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how you know if you're in an established relationship that will be in line with the government rules of who you're allowed to sleep with at the moment. Would you go to the cinema with them or not?
That's a good litmus test.
Because going to the cinema means not talking for a couple of hours. And if you're not comfortable with them, trying to regulate your breathing. So that you don't sound like a mouth breather. You know, the first time you sleep over at someone's house or they sleep over at your house and you're going to sleep and then you become aware of your breathing and you're like, is that too loud?
Mm.
Is that awfully loud? Am I a mouth breather? Am I a heavy breather? I get really in my head about it and then I forget how to breathe and try and make it more elegant. And then I sort of choke myself accidentally, almost like holding my breath.
That sounds stressful.
Yeah, a little bit.
I always need a wee halfway through a film.
Yes.
You know, you sit there thinking, I'll hold it. But you know you can't hold it till the end of the film. So you think there's no real point in me trying to hold it for an extra 10 minutes. Because what difference is that going to make? And yet you do it anyway.
But what if you need a second wee before the end of the film? Oh, so annoying if you came back from your first wee, because you just went straight away, and then 10 minutes before the end, you're thinking, when is the end? Because you don't know you're 10 minutes before the end.
No, it's a surprise.
No, no.
Boom, it's finished. The climax has happened.
You never know what you're going to miss as well. Disaster.
And then do you ask someone to catch you up on it, or do you just...
Can't do that. It's antisocial. Talking.
Well, exactly. Fraud. Well, I, for one... Oh, I will really miss the cinema if it dies. Don't die.
I know.
Do you know what I would like? And a few of these had popped up, but none in central London, because there's no space. Drive-ins.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't say have that, a car. But you don't have a car.
No.
Neither of us has a car.
No, I know. But I see myself getting a car at some point in the future. And I would really like to go to a drive-in.
I could just pop my telly up by the window.
I could stand outside and you the street.
Well, you and Ben could maybe get Boris bikes.
Yeah. Oh, those whizzy jump ones. I like those. Mm.
And maybe I could get Bluetooth headphones for you or something so that you can listen.
Perfect.
And watch just out through the window.
Great. I'll bring a packet of Werther's Originals to chomp on.
Oh, that is a niche cinema snack, Grandma.
Love a Werther's. Butter candy.
This week's episode is sponsored by Two's new Dress Well, Feel Good campaign, celebrating the art of getting dressed and inspiring the nation to do so with their well-being in mind.
Oh, that's a bit of us, isn't it, Frankie?
It is, Charlie. We're all about clothes that make you feel good in the morning.
And they really can. As fashion editors, we've seen firsthand that clothes can not only make you look good, but can totally change how you feel.
From that mood-boosting coat to the dress that always makes you feel more confident.
And we could all use a bit of mood boosting at the moment.
Exactly. So if you're stuck in a lockdown leggings rut or struggling to shed that tracksuit, now's the time to rediscover the joy of getting dressed in the clothes you love.
So thank you again to Two and the Dress Well, Feel Good campaign. So have you got any recommendations this week?
I do have a recommendation. Before I say it, I've been watching Emily in Paris.
Yeah, me too.
So this is new to Netflix. Lily Collins is in it. The fashion press have been going wild because Patricia Field, who was the stylist on Sex and the City, she is also the stylist on Emily in Paris. The outfits are good in an eclectic Carrie Bradshaw way. I would say not as iconic.
I would say it's the same shtick of kooky girl. And I find that annoying because she is incredibly beautiful and she's incredibly slim and has this model figure. But nobody ever talks about that. And actually, when she arrives first in this French office, her new colleagues are being mean to her and are talking about overweight Americans and the obesity epidemic in America as if she's not this incredibly thin and beautiful woman in front of them because she's wearing like a pink skirt. It's kind of a... She's a black sheep and she's different. She's unique. I'm not like other girls. We're all like other girls, and so we should be, because other girls are amazing. And that trope annoys me, but continue.
No, I know you're not a fan of it, fair to say. Hasn't tickled your taste buds.
I don't know anyone, this might just be some single bitterness, I don't know anyone who just gets propositioned everywhere they go. And also, I'm surprised that there is another show at this current time, in this new climate, that is so much about a woman's relationships with men. And yes, she's killing it at work and she's doing an amazing job, and that's great to see. But she is just constantly thinking about men, talking about men, talking to her best mate, who she finds in Paris, about this boy and that boy. And I started watching Love Life, actually, last night, which is on the BBC, which is Anna Kendrick.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a 10-part series of chapters of her love life. And yes, one or two are her relationships with friends or her mother, but it's basically the chapters of her life separated out by who she's dating at the time. And is that a thing? Is that how we do our chapters? Because again, she has a really interesting career, and that you do see that developing throughout, and you see her changing, but that's how it's marketed by men. Mm-hmm. Emily in Paris, I was just a little bit surprised that it was so much about romantic relationships. And she does have female friendships, but one of them is tricky. So actually, she's really just got one female friendship. And I just thought maybe we'd moved away from that a little bit. Like with Sex Education, for example.
Yes.
And obviously, it's all about sex and romantic relationships. But actually, the writing is so brilliant that it's also so much about personal development. It's so much about friendships. And the second series, if you've watched the second series, is so much about female friendships and support systems. I was just a little bit surprised because it felt maybe not as much of the moment for me. What do you think?
Didn't feel modern. Each episode is about, what, 20 minutes? As a light, fluffy, shove it on when you don't know what else to watch and you just need something a bit easy to consume, great. Look at it for the visual benefits. Shot in Paris, very beautiful. Clothes are good, hair's good. Considering how much hype it's had, I was expecting it to be better. So I was a little bit disappointed that maybe the storyline wasn't stronger. Just gonna say that. But I would say if you have an hour and you just want something light, try it. Anyway, on to my actual recommendations. I've been reading Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens, and this was the book of the summer all over my Instagram. And sometimes it's hard when a book's been really championed and it is the it book because you feel a lot of pressure when you read it. What if you don't like it? What if you don't get it? So I didn't pick it up over the summer, but I had picked it up this week, and I have to say, it's really bloody good. So this is Delia Owens' debut novel. She's written before, but non-fiction. It's set in America in a small town in North Carolina, and it centres around a girl called Kaya, who's known as the Marsh Girl because she lives in the marshes. There is a mysterious death that happens, and you see how prejudice, fear, and ignorance cause someone to be immediately assumed as the villain when, in fact, they might not be.
Ooh.
Mm. It's really well written, and I would definitely, definitely recommend reading it. I'm about, I'd say, a quarter of the way through.
I'd say that's a third.
Okay, I'm about a third of the way through, and I love it. And then I just really want to quickly flag, there's a great virtual festival happening this Sunday, the 11th of October, which is International Day of the Girl.
Woo!
Mm. And it's an organisation called Festival of the Girl, and they, for a few years, have put on an annual festival. Obviously, this year it's virtual. It's actually specifically for 7 to 11-year-old girls, and it is helping educate and inspire girls, but also helping show parents and carers how they can raise girls in a non-stereotypical way, which I thought was very interesting. So if you have a sister or a friend or whoever, go on to Festival of the Girl, and you can sign up to this Sunday's festival. An amazing lineup. Talks by Laura Bates, talks with the Met Police, with athletes, there's a lightsaber making class. It just looks really fun, and I imagine if I was that age, I would love it. But they also have a podcast, which is a good listen. Each episode tackles lots of interesting topics such as consent, body positivity, race, and they're just really interesting and really well done. So if that sounds like something you might be interested in, go and sign up. Festival of the Girl. It's on Sunday.
Lovely.
Mm. Have you got any recs, Chaz?
Yes. One is a genre of reading, which is to say that I have started reading restaurant reviews again, which might seem like weird timing since I'm not going to very many restaurants and they might be closing in the future. Hopefully not. But that's kind of why I'm enjoying it so much. I think because I'm not travelling, because I'm not even travelling across London, let alone travelling to other cities, I am only going to places that I have been a million times. And if I am going out for dinner, it's somewhere local that I can walk to, it's socially distanced and great and delicious, but I'm not going anywhere new. And so I'm really enjoying reading Marina O'Loughlin on The Times and Grace Dent on The Guardian, my go-to restaurant reviews. They are funny, they're brilliantly written, the food sounds amazing, and sometimes you do get recipe ideas from it. Sometimes I do think, oh, I'd love to go there. I don't keep a list. Really, I'm just reading it for the escapism.
Lovely.
And somehow, while travel writing right now would make me feel a bit sad that I can't go somewhere, food writing doesn't do the same thing. I don't know why that is, but it's kind of a bit like being there and you get to picture the scene. I love it. So I'd recommend reading those. My second recommendation is an article that I read. It was in the Sunday Times magazine, This Sunday Gone. And it is their recurring feature, A Life in the Day. And I've not said that wrong. I do mean A Life in the Day, not A Day in the Life. And it is the actor, Tom Hollander, who at the moment, obviously, is on our screens in Us.
Which I watched.
On the BBC.
On your recommendation.
Did you like it?
I've only watched the first episode. So good. I love it. Watch it.
He is brilliant in it. This piece, so he's written about his an average day at the moment while he's not working. So he's in between jobs. So I guess for an actor, they spend a lot of their time like this. It is so funny. So normally people try and rose tint a bit. They make it sound really fabulous. They're really productive. They're up with the lark. They're meditating. They drink some ginseng. No. Here is a small excerpt. The afternoon is time for hobbies and extracurricular activities. If it's sunny, I might go for a cycle ride down the canal. If it's raining, I might masturbate and doze, or speculate on the extraordinary injustice of Philip Green's knighthood, or look at that app that tells you which celebrity you most resemble, Tom Hardy. Sometimes I read long-form articles about the collapse of Western society and the destruction of the planet. Lol, he has a mid-morning nap. He wakes up at 3 or 4 for a wee. He listens to the radio a lot. It's glorious and it's really funny. And if you haven't read it, you should. It's quite a short read, but I loved it. That's it.
Thank you.
It's my week in a nutshell.
She adored it.
And that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard, then please rate, review and subscribe.
You can also hear more from us via our weekly newsletter, which comes out every Sunday. Sign up at thewingwoman.co.uk.
And get in touch with us at thewingwomanofficial@gmail.com with any questions or thoughts.
And if you do so wish, you can follow us on social media at Frankie Braddon, at Charlie Gowans, and collectively at the Wing Woman_.
Until next week.
Bye.